two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men. I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's what that is, that the sinner. I tell you, this is our Lord speaking. I tell you, this man, the sinner, went down to his house justified, forgiven, accepted, pardoned, saved, redeemed. Justified means without sin. Rather than the other. For everyone, without exception, that exalteth himself shall be abased. And he that by the grace of God has the wisdom and understanding of sin and the fall and our identification with Adam and our guilt and our deceitful hearts, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, if words have any meaning at all for us, there's no reason to misunderstand this parable of our Lord. The parable has a definite target. The Lord is aiming at one group of people. It has a definite target. Verse 9 tells you to whom he's speaking. The arrow, the sword, is aimed at the self-righteous. He says in verse 9, listen, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. They were not sinners. They were not lost. They were not ungodly. They were righteous. And this Pharisee was one of those people. You see, those who trust in themselves always justify themselves in their own minds. He said, I am not as other men are. I'm not like other people. I'm different. I'm more holy. I'm holier than thou. I'm more righteous. And the self-righteous, the men who and women who trust in themselves that they're righteous, they justify themselves in their own minds. They really believe that. They're better than others. They're more holy. And more than that, they justify themselves before God. Listen to what he says. God, I thank you. I thank you that I'm not as other men are. I thank you that I'm not a sinner. I'm not as others. And I thank you, God, that I'm not. And then they not only justify themselves in their own minds and even before God, but the self-righteous compare themselves with others. I'm not like others. Now that's fatal. When we begin to compare ourselves with someone else, that's like one worm comparing himself to another worm. I'm more beautiful than that worm. That's dangerous. Let me show you a scripture over in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Paul said, people that compare themselves with people are not wise. We need to compare ourselves with the holiness of God. That's Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. And when I saw the Lord, I cried, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Daniel said, when I saw the Lord, my comeliness, my beauty melted into corruption. Job said, Lord, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear. Now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I hate myself. I repent in sackcloth and ashes. When we look at someone else in our pride and self-righteousness, we can find perhaps some reason to glory. But when we look at God in His holiness, infinite holiness, all we can do is fall on our faces as dead men. Unclean. Unclean. Listen to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves among themselves, and they're not wise. You see, and this man standing here justifying himself in his own mind, justifying himself before God, and then comparing himself with a publican. And outwardly, really, compared to this publican, I'll tell you a little bit about publicans in a minute. He could come up in the eyes of men looking pretty good. But we're not judged by men. We're judged by God. And here's another thing about the self-righteous. People who compare themselves with others and who trust in themselves that they're righteous. Look at verse 11 and 12. This man bases his holiness on outward sins and outward duties. You remember when our Lord condemned these Pharisees? He said, you're like whited sepulchres, graves. On the outside, you appear beautiful to men. The lovely marble tombstones and the mound of earth covered by the thick green grass and the flowers growing, and it appears so beautiful. But within, dead men's bones, rotten, putrid. And he said, you clean the outside of the cup, but the inside is fatal. And this man, he talks about in verse 11, listen. Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee, I'm not as other men are. I'm not an extortioner. I don't get gain under false pretenses. I don't steal and take advantage of folks outwardly. Well, that's fine. And he said, I'm not unjust, that is wicked. Unjust in my dealings with others outwardly. I'm not an adulterer. I'm married to the same wife that I've been married to for years. And then he begins to talk about what he's talking there about what he didn't do outwardly. Now he talks about what he does do. And it's all outward too. He said, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. No reference here to the mind, to the thoughts, to the imagination, to the heart, to the covetousness and envy and pride and jealousy and all of these things that live within us. You know, it's not that which man puts in his mouth that defiles him, Christ said. It's what comes out of his mouth. For out of the mouth and out of the heart proceeds adulteries and fornications and thefts and all of these things, out of evil thoughts. And here, this is the way the self-righteous are, and this is the people our Lord speaking to. Verse 9 says, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. They justified themselves in their own minds, justified themselves before God by their works, their deeds. They compared themselves with the notorious and the wicked. Thank you, I'm not like him. And then they base their holiness on the outward. And listen, turn to Luke 16. Back just a page or two. Verse 15. Luke 16, 15. Listen to this. And he said to them, "You are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts." He knows our hearts. He sees our hearts. He looks not on the outward countenance. He looks on the heart. And he sees not just the deed, but the motive for the deed. He sees not just the act, but the attitude. He sees not just the deed, but the desire. He sees inside us. And listen, "And that which is highly esteemed among men," outward holiness, outward honesty, outward morality, outward deeds, duties, "is an abomination in the sight of God." And I'll tell you something else about people who justify themselves. Look at verse 9 again. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others." And despised others. I tell you, the people who are so self-righteous and outwardly moral and inwardly evil, they despise others who are not as religious as they are, not as righteous as they are, not as outwardly moral as they are. You'll never meet a self-righteous person who is not critical of other people. Always. They always are the most critical people on earth. They enjoy pointing out another person's weaknesses. Oh, they enjoy that. They enjoy pointing out other people's failures. Oh, how delighted they are when they find someone who fails. Someone whose children fail, or someone who fails in this way or that way where they are so successful. They love to point out the shortcomings of other people. They delight in the fall of other people. They do. They delight. Oh, they delight in another person's fall and failure. No one, no person, no woman or man is as quick to judge, condemn, and criticize others as that person who has a high opinion of himself. He's the most critical person. He despises others. Well, you'd think a man that's self-righteous would love others. No, they despise others. You would think a man that would fasted twice a week, gave alms, and didn't commit adultery and didn't steal, and what, you'd think he'd love others. No, he hates others. He loves himself. That's who he loves. He's the object of his affection. You see, my friends, we need the understanding of Richard Baxter. Richard Baxter one time saw a drunk man. Richard Baxter, he's a great preacher in England many years ago. Richard Baxter wrote that book, The Saints' Everlasting Rest. And he saw a drunk man staggering down the street. And this is what he said as he watched this drunk man making his way down the street. He said, "There, except for the grace of God, goes Richard Baxter." Can you say that? Pick out any fallen, depraved, wretched scum of the earth and point your finger and say, "There, except for the grace of God, go I." That's true. The heart's deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? You see, my friends, unbelief is a great sin. Unbelief is the father of all sins. Unbelief is the damning sin. Christ said of Israel, they could not enter in because of unbelief. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be found in you the evil heart of unbelief." But I'll tell you,
a greater sin, because unbelief has its roots in this sin, and that's self-righteousness. Let me show you that. Unbelief has its roots in self-righteousness. I don't come to Christ, believe on Christ, because I don't need Christ. If I ever need Him, I'll quit my unbelief. If I ever become lost, I won't be an unbeliever anymore. That's right. If I ever become a sinner, I won't be an unbeliever. I'll be a believer. That's right. Unbelief has its roots in self-righteousness. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. Let me read this to you. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 10. And here these same people represented again, the Pharisee and the publican. Verse 10, Matthew 9. It came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house. You have the scripture, Matthew 9, verse 10. Behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees, these religious, self-righteous people, saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Why does he eat with people like that? Why does he allow these people to sit in his presence?" It's like that Pharisee said of our Lord when the woman bathed his feet with tears, the sinner, and kissed his feet. That Pharisee was horrified. He said, "If he were a prophet, he would know what manner of woman this is that touches him. He wouldn't let her touch him." The old Pharisee said, "I wouldn't." And so he was eating with these people. And they want to know, seriously, they want to know why. Why is he with them? Listen. And when he heard it, he said, to the Lord Jesus said to them, "They that be whole need not a physician. Well people don't need doctors. Sick people." Now you go learn what that means. "I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I will have mercy and not Sabbath keeping, sacrifices, holy days. I don't take delight in those things. Those but figures and types. But mercy's real. I'm not come to call the righteous or people who think they are. For there's none righteous, no, not one. I've come to call sinners." Sinners. And these men, you see, their unbelief had its roots in their self-righteousness. They didn't need a Savior. They didn't need a Redeemer. They didn't need a Messiah to save them by His blood. A man will not be found who is not lost. A man will not be healed who's not sick. A man will not be forgiven who's not guilty. A man will not be raised who's not dead. A man will not be exalted till God brings him down. A man will not be clothed with the righteousness of Christ till he's stripped. A man will not come to the fountain till he's thirsty. A man will not come to the bread of life, so he can't find anything to eat anywhere else. That's right. Salvation's for sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, "Of whom I'm the chief. I'm come," he said, "to seek and to save the lost." God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for the ungodly. And that's what he's talking about here. He says, look at verse 10. He speaks this parable to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. They despised others. Two men went to the temple to pray. Two men. Both these men believed in God. Both of these men believed there's a God. Both of these men walked the same road to the house of God.
Both of these men engaged in a form of prayer, much like Cain and Abel. They both came to worship. They both built an altar. They both brought a sacrifice. Cain perished in his hatred and evil and rebellion, and Abel, God had respect to him and received him. And here are two men. Both come, both believe in God. Both walk the same road to the house of God. Both engage in a form of prayer. But these two men, our Lord said, listen, verse 10, they're different in character. They're different in reputation. They're different in lifestyle. He said one was a Pharisee and one was a publican. My friends, if you take the time to read a Bible dictionary or something of that sort, they'll give you the background of Pharisees and publicans. It's difficult to imagine a more striking contrast in the eyes of these Jews than a Pharisee and a publican. When our Lord said to these religious people who trusted in themselves, now he's talking to folks who feel like they're holy, that they know God, that they're God's children, they're on their way to heaven, they fast and pray and tithe, and they're holier than thou, they're good people, they're not like those publicans. And he said, a Pharisee and a publican. That was so extreme, that was so, such a contrast. It'd be like saying today, Bishop Sheen and Dennis Rodman went to the temple to pray. Now that's just be the contrast. That's how far apart these men were. That's right. You see, a Pharisee was the most outwardly moral, strict, religious of all the Jews. They wore their phylacteries broad. They stood on the street corner and prayed and read scripture. Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee, blameless, he said. Outwardly, these men lived by the law. They observed the holy days, the righteous, outwardly. But they were mean as the devil. The publican, what was a publican? The publicans were especially hated by the Jews. The publicans were Jews who were traitors, who collected taxes for the Roman government. That's who they were. The publicans, Zacchaeus was a publican. These publicans were hated by the Jews, and they were classed with the harlots. Our Lord said that one time. He said to the Pharisees, the publicans and harlots enter heaven before you. That's how low down the publicans were. He said one time, our Lord said, if a man won't hear you and won't forgive you, let him be a publican and a what? Heathen. So, you know, he shocked these people. But people have to be shocked into truth. They've got to be told truth. You can't namby-pamby and beat around the bush. Folks have got to be told the truth. He said two men went to the temple to pray. One of them was a Pharisee and one of them was a low-down publican. Boy, he got their attention. And he says in verse 11, these men had different in their approach to God. First of all, the Pharisee, he stood and prayed thus with himself. First of all, this Pharisee evidently was familiar with the temple. He'd been there many times. He made his way to the front. You say, how do you know he went to the front? Well, down here in verse 13, it says the publican stood afar off. He was afar off. The Pharisee was, he felt like he belonged there. He was right down, very familiar. And the Pharisee evidently lifted his hands to heaven. Because it says down here in verse 13, the publican wouldn't lift his hands. He wouldn't even lift his eyes. I can just see the Pharisee now lifting holy hands. Scripture says something about that. and standing. And back yonder's a publican. He won't lift his hands. He's got him smiting his chest where his trouble is. Here's where my trouble is. My trouble's in here, my heart, my nature, my spirit. And the Pharisee prayed with himself. It's a selfish prayer, a self-centered prayer, a self-glorifying prayer, which God would not hear and God would not require, would regard. But the publican cried unto God. The Pharisee prayed with himself, the publican cried unto God. And the Pharisee talked about what he had done and what he had not done. He talked about what he was and what he was not. But let's look at the publican's prayer. It's short, but meaningful. The Pharisee's prayer was four or five times longer than the publican's. But the publican's was short. But listen, meaningful, listen to him. God, against whom I've sinned, God, who will in no wise clear the guilty, God, with whom there is mercy and forgiveness, God, who only can forgive, God, you're the one I need. You're the one I address. You're the one to whom I come, God. The next line, be merciful to me. Show mercy to me. You know what he's saying? Be propitious. Be propitious to me through the blood of the mercy seat. Let the blood on the mercy seat cover my sins. That's what he's saying. God, be merciful. He's praying like David prayed over here in Psalm 51. Turn over there and listen to God, be merciful to me. Be propitiated. Be propitious unto me through the blood of the mercy seat. David prayed in Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God. According to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Listen, wash me. How can you be washed? Only in the blood. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. God, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that you might be justified when you speak and clear when you judge. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, in the hidden part. That's where the problem is. That's what the Pharisee didn't know anything about. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Now watch. Purge me with hyssop. What is hyssop? Go back to Exodus. You'll find hyssop, first time it's mentioned in the Bible. When Moses told him to slay the Passover lamb, roast it with fire, eat its flesh, catch its blood in a basin, dip hyssop, a plant, hyssop, into the blood, sprinkle it on the dough. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That's what David's praying. Purge me with blood. Cleanse me with blood. Put away my sin by the blood of the Lamb. And this man over here in my text, God, be merciful to me. And look at this next word, a sinner. A sinner. Be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. In fact, most Bible scholars believe he's saying, I'm the sinner. I'm the sinner. Pardon is an act of mercy. It's an act of mercy. And it's an act of justice. For there's no pardon except God is satisfied when he satisfies his law and his justice by his blood. All right. Verse 14. Verse 10 says two men went up to the temple to pray. Two men of different
characteristics and lifestyle, but both sons of Adam, both sinners. One knew it, one didn't. One bragged on himself, and one cried for mercy. Two men went home. They departed from the temple. Verse 14, I tell you, Christ said, this man who took his place before God as a helpless, hopeless, hell-deserving sinner went home justified. He sought mercy and he found it, rather than the other. The Pharisee came in full, confident, full of self-esteem. And he went out empty, rejected of God. The publican came to the house of God empty, poor, lost, defiled. He left full, rich, forgiven, justified. The Pharisee justified himself and God condemned him. The publican condemned himself and God forgave him. Whew. That would tell us something, shouldn't it? Ought to tell us something. The Pharisee came in so full of himself, and he left empty, cast off, rejected. The publican came in empty, sinful, cried to God, went out full of grace and mercy. The Pharisee justified himself and God condemned him. The publican, honestly, truthfully, condemned himself. If we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. You do the judging, God won't have to. But if you don't, He will. God will meet you on the ground you choose to stand on. If you choose to stand on your religion, your fasting and tithing and outward holiness and good deeds and the fact you're not this and not that and not the other and not like other people, God will meet you there at the judgment. And He'll deal with you in justice. You'll get justice. It'll be equity and justice there. But if you should stand on the ground this man stood on, a sinner, without God, without help, without hope, without ability to please God in any shape, form, or fashion, deserving of God, David said, you're just when you condemn me. If you want to take your place there and judge yourself, you'll go out justified, pleading the blood of Christ. I'll show you a scripture and I'll close. Job 33. Job 33. The Lord Jesus didn't die for nice folks. He died for sinners. He didn't come into the world to save people that had a little problem or two. He came to save folks that were dead in sin, hopeless, helpless, could do nothing. Job chapter 33, verse 27. Mark this, draw a circle around it, read it frequently. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned, and perverted that which is right, and it profiteth me not. He will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. My Lord said that. And you can rest assured it's true. God be merciful. Let your blood be propitiation for me on the mercy seat. Purge me with hyssop. The sinner went home justified.